Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I had referenced this earlier in the show tonight that we are going to be talking a bit about, again, a sort of a recurring theme, I guess, if you will, that there are occasional silver linings in a situation that doesn't feel like it has many, the pandemic. And here is one of them. As a result of people being so careful about the coronavirus, the mask wearing, the hand washing, the constant cleaning, the social distancing, all of those things we put in place, we have had an unusual benefit or an unexpected benefit out of this. And that is the flu. And the flu is not spreading as rapidly this winter as it has in past winters. Joining us right now is Dr. Matt Hansen. He's a medical epidemiologist with King County Health. Dr. Hansen, thank you for joining Cairo Nights.
All right. Thanks for having me, Mike.
So let's talk a little bit about this. I thought that this was, I've seen this story written nationally. I'm assuming that this is international, given every place that is following some form of protocol regarding the coronavirus. But what are we seeing in terms of the flu infection rate and the spread of flu in King County, at least, right now?
Oh, it's quite impressive. It's been a dramatic drop. If we look at this time last year, beginning of the year, maybe 200 to 300 cases in a week were being identified. And this time this year, we're 0, 1, 2 cases a week. So
wow.
An absolute dramatic drop.
That's
the number of cases. Yeah, it's truly astounding. I think all the prevention measures that we're taking with regard to COVID have had knock-on benefits. And the most important one is around influenza. And those cases have gone down significantly, but also numbers of outbreaks and numbers of deaths associated with influenza. We track those pretty closely. And in a typical year, maybe we'll get 50 outbreaks, often at long-term care facilities like nursing homes, mm-hmm. and maybe 50 deaths. But thus far this year, we've seen no deaths, no outbreaks. And even though it's a bit early, we often see the spike in January, February, a little bit higher than, say, November, December. It's still dramatically low compared to previous years.
And is this a rate that we're seeing nationally and internationally, at least from what you have been reading? Are we seeing similar declines in other places?
Yeah, absolutely. Same thing at the state level. If you just take it up the administrative levels, at the state level, we're essentially seeing very few to no cases. At the national level, it's much less than usual. CDC at the national level does a good job of tracking and doing some surveillance across the country. And with those COVID measures in place, we're seeing significantly lower numbers. And I'd say that's true also internationally, where COVID prevention measures have been in place, we're also seeing significant drops.
So when we talk about this, I mean, do you, especially someone who literally tracks this sort of information, are you seeing that there is maybe a long-term change in behavior? Are you expecting that people are going to say, like, wow, I managed to get through this year without flu? Or maybe, you know, some people certainly will be saying that. Obviously, some people are still going to catch it. Do you think that we're going to have a behavioral shift, a long-term behavioral shift that's not just coronavirus-related, but actually related to the flu itself?
I hope so in some ways. I think the increased personal prevention that we've taken in terms of washing our hands, using hand sanitizer, being better about our sneezes and our coughs into our elbow rather than into the air in front of us. I think the things that are a little more significant in terms of the steps that we've taken around COVID, such as wearing masks all the time when out of your household, the social distancing, those are probably more difficult to see happening long term. I think for the near term, as we're going through this pandemic, of course, all those measures are important to keep in place. But I think a lot of those efforts to, you know, just increase our personal hygiene around respiratory viruses, I think, are improvements. I think the long-term mask wearing, staying apart from the people that we love, that's going to be probably a little more challenging to maintain long-term.
Well, let's just talk about that. And this is Dr. Matt Hansen. He's a medical epidemiologist with King County Health. And we're talking about the unexpected radical decline in flu numbers in King County as a result of all the measures we're taking regarding the coronavirus. Of those things that we have started doing that we sort of delineated early in the segment here, we talk about the social distancing, which you don't expect to stick around, which I would agree with that. We're wearing masks. We're washing our hands a lot. We're staying, you know, even the outdoors and those other things. Of those things, what do you think is something that might be maybe either a recommended behavioral shift? I mean, what do you think of those was the most effective at controlling the flu outbreaks, much less coronavirus?
Well, I think a lot of the mask wearing has been definitely that's been a significant positive change to improve things. I think many of the outbreaks that we've seen locally and the deaths that resulted from those outbreaks occurred in long-term care facilities. And as you know, we had our first outbreak locally in a long-term care facility earlier this year. And I would say many changes took place within those facilities, much more regulation of those facilities. And I think the benefit has been for all respiratory viruses, and most importantly, other than COVID, was with influenza. So I think many of the changes that have been instituted in those facilities will be long lasting. And one thing I didn't mention earlier, Mike, was we have another tool in our arsenal, and that's flu vaccine that we, you know, are just getting out there for COVID-19. But we have a flu vaccine, and one would worry as we were approaching the season last fall that would we see a drop in terms of healthcare seeking behavior, not as many people going to their local pharmacy or doctor to get their flu vaccine. But in terms of the data that we have for October, September and October, it actually looks pretty good. We've actually vaccinated a larger percentage in the population than we had to date the previous year. Things have been quite fast and furious in terms of COVID the last couple months, so our data on influenza vaccination for November and December is not quite complete, so I can't give you a sense of that. But we have, in addition to all those great measures that have been put in place for COVID-19, we have a good and effective vaccine for flu, and now we have a very effective vaccine for COVID. So we're kind of following up what we're able to do with flu with both the prevention measures and vaccine. And now we have a vaccine, of course, that's now being administered to people in King County to add to all the COVID-19 prevention measures that they're taking.
We're talking with Dr. Matt Hansen. He's a medical epidemiologist and who works for King County Health. So Matt, let's talk a little bit then about I of course went out and got the flu shot. I do every year, but this year in particular, it felt very important because there was the fear of, at least the headline fear of the dual pandemic, that we were going to have people getting flu and coronavirus. And it appears that at least people's response from a flu standpoint has been a pretty positive one, given that the flu rates appear to be down. Would you say that the flu rates are down largely because people went out and got vaccines, or would you say that the rates are down because of we can't really tease out what it is, but it's probably this whole host of things that we've been doing, mostly focusing on coronavirus, but having this ancillary benefit of the flu?
I think it's more the latter. I think it's all of these efforts that we've been taking around washing our hands, wearing masks, staying at a distance from folks, avoiding poorly ventilated spaces. I think those have probably contributed the lion's share to our drop in flu cases. Of course, the vaccine has also contributed. And many of the people that we prioritize for flu vaccination are mainly the ones that you're hearing about for COVID-19 vaccination.
Right.
Those that are our most vulnerable in nursing homes, our healthcare providers, et cetera. And then you add that onto all these other prevention measures we put in place for COVID. And I think together, you've seen this just dramatic drop.
And what about that's sort of some of the other behavioral shifts that we've made have been remote working, for example. And with the technology available, it's many companies have pivoted and found that it wasn't a detriment to start moving to that. I mean, is this one of those things? Do you see a world in which employers maybe take these airborne viruses, these aerosol viruses, more seriously and start sending people home in a manner that maybe they didn't before because we didn't have all of these tools at our disposal, and also we didn't have this awareness sort of as the backdrop to the way these things spread and can take out, you know, an entire team of people in the workplace?
Yeah, I think that that's definitely possible. And I think that that would be good development, especially this time of year with other respiratory viruses like flu. And then I've also definitely heard from many that there's a bit of a culture change taking place where people are listening to the advice that if you have a sniffle, if you're not feeling all that well, you don't just tough it out and go to work. You actually heed the advice and say, you know what, I got something brewing here. I'm actually going to stay home, and then maybe I'm even going to call my medical provider to be looked at. Like, well, those are both positive developments.
Well, but also, I mean, that development also has to happen on the manager and employer level as well, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because there certainly are places that put you a little bit under pressure to show up even though you're not feeling well, because they need that employee to do whatever the task is that they're being paid to do. Do you feel like the shift is happening not just from the employee, but from the manager or at the employer level as well?
I think that could be the case. It's hard for me to say exactly if that's happening, but I think that definitely. I'm even seeing that where I work and where friends and family work, that there is more of a push to actually allow that to happen.
Well, actually, that you raise an interesting point. So in your personal life, are you in the constant mode of correcting people or trying to get them to do things, since you have to deal with this data all the time? Or do you find that everyone around you just immediately knows that, oh, great, he's going to tell me I need to put on a mask or get at a distance or something like that? I mean, are you the person who is, everyone knows they've got to be on sort of better behavior, at least as in terms of relating to viral spread?
Maybe that's the case, but I try not to be a know-it-all with all of this. But I'm also surrounded by a bunch of epidemiologists and folks in my family who believe and trust in science. So it's probably an easier audience to persuade.
All right,
for the most part, in my sphere.
So what can we? I mean, if we have a low, I mean, I don't know that there is possibility of any sort of, you know, real downside of this. The decline in flu rates was a little bit of a shock to me. I mean, I know it was going to be good. I didn't know it was in King County, at least, it was going to be that dramatic of a drop, like 200 a week cases, I think you said, to one or two a week.
Mm-hmm.
What are there any
yeah,
other
either.
Are there any other effects from this that you have seen as an epidemiologist on, I mean, some sort of collateral benefits? Or are there any things out there that actually is still worrisome as far as you're concerned in this? And I mean, sort of separate from the obvious worries about the coronavirus.
Well, I think the other, benefits, when you're looking at it strictly from a communicable disease standpoint, many of the other diseases that we are responsible for following up on, making sure that there's not outbreaks that we need to intervene upon, many of those cases, given that much of life has actually decreased in terms of our interactions with other people, our going out to dinner, our going out to the movies, et cetera. Much of that has contributed to lower cases of, say, foodborne illness or other infectious diseases. So we've definitely seen that in our work. Yeah, and I would say the big differences that we've seen is probably respiratory viruses such as flu and foodborne, that those have decreased significantly. And it's allowed us to, of course, surge and focus more on the COVID-19 work and be able to continue what we have always done on the other side, because it hasn't required as much in terms of effort.
And last question, and I really appreciate you taking time with Kyra Knights. So did you expect, when we rolled into this thing, and this is obviously, I mean, in a weird way, obviously this is something that's an awful event for any society, but I would imagine as an epidemiologist, there's also, you also probably had a keen interest in what was going on and people's behaviors and how things were spreading. Is there anything about this that is, that you found surprising, or were you actually anticipating that all of these collaterals, sort of these little silver linings, would be born of this massive behavioral change that all of us have had to make?
Oh, I think I actually earlier in this year was definitely fearful of this dual pandemic, because I think we were dealing with this new virus in SARS-CoV-2. We didn't know how it would play itself out. I think, as we all know, it's been a very difficult 12 months for many people. And I think those that have been dealing with influenza for many years, of course you always fear what's going to come in the fall and the winter. And this whole prospect of a dual pandemic and how that could potentially overwhelm our healthcare system was quite worrisome. I think the silver lining around flu cannot be overstated, because it is dramatic how much it's dropped, and I never would have expected it to be as low as it is, to the point of some weeks where you get essentially no cases at all. And so I'd say that is the silver lining, and I think that is a benefit, an additional benefit that your listeners should know, that many of the efforts that they're taking around COVID are having benefits to themselves and the community around flu and other respiratory viruses. And it's not too late to get your flu shot. So keep up those good prevention measures. Go to your local Bartels or CVS or other and get your flu shot. And when it's your time to step in line and get your COVID-19 vaccine, I urge you to do so.
That is Dr. Matt Hansen. He's a medical epidemiologist with King County Health Department, on the fact that we've seen a dramatic drop, not just in flu apparently, but in other communicable diseases as a result of the protections we're taking with COVID-19. Dr. Hansen, thank you so much for joining Cairo Nights.
All right. Thank you, and have a nice evening.
More Cairo Nights right after the break.